Welcome back to the Dear Diary podcast. My name is Sienna, and if you are new, make sure to check out our first episode in which I describe into more detail what I will be covering within this series. Also, check out our first episode, part one of this. Yeah, that. If you got what I was trying to say, thanks. Okay, so before we start, I want to remind everyone again that each person's experience is going to be different from mine and other people that I bring along. But the purpose of this is to share things that we wish we would have known beforehand and some of the challenge we saw common thread with, and provide a bit of advice and words of wisdom. With that said, let's start. Today's episode, we will have my really good friend Kaseba share her experience and continue the conversation with us about her first year away from home and like that whole college life. So yeah, so let's start. Let me introduce you to her.
Hi everyone, my name is Kaseba, and I am currently a student at Loyola U Chicago, majoring in criminology and criminal justice with a minor in women and gender studies. A few things about me are I love the color pink and every shade. Elle Woods is my spirit animal, and I'm super passionate about public speaking and using my voice to motivate others to follow their dreams and follow their heart. And also, I love to advocate for those who cannot advocate for themselves. I'm super passionate about juvenile justice reform and just reform in general. And I'm super passionate about social justice issues. And I'm super excited to share with you today about the things I wish I knew before college and just how the experience went, in the hopes to help people make better decisions and trust their intuitions.
Okay, so the first thing we're going to cover really quick is just, like, how our experience was moving out of state. Because we're from California, and Kaseba went to Chicago.
I did.
Yes, and I went to Boston, which was just a crazy experience.
It most definitely was, you know, a crazy experience, considering the fact that I attend a school in a place where I said I would never go to. And the only reason that I considered Loyola U Chicago was because the college fair was coming to the San Diego Convention Center, and one of my friends the night before said, oh, I think you should look into Loyola U Chicago. I think that would be the perfect school for you. And I was thinking, Chicago? I am not going to school in Chicago. And it just was off-putting to me. So I went to the fair with my mom. We went over to the booth and talked to a lady named Tara, and she answered all of my questions, my mom's questions. And it was in that moment I truly considered, you know, going there. But at the same time, I was, you know, I had USD on my radar and SDSU. So in the back of my head, I'm like, even if I do get in, the chances of me going there are slim to none, because I'm going to stay in California and San Diego. And so fast forward to, you know, the college process and applications, I got my Loyola acceptance letter in December, and I'm like, yay, I did it. It was great, right? Because it was considered one of my dream schools. So I was super ecstatic about that. And then all the other schools started coming in, you know, got a few rejection letters, and it came down to the schools in California that I was looking at. I didn't really want to go there, or they cost the same amount as Loyola. And I was thinking, well, it's either I stay here in somewhere that I'm comfortable, or I go out and get, you know, a different experience, right? New people, new city. And I was weighing on that decision. I was going back and forth and back and forth until, you know, one Friday after school, I just took out my laptop and I committed to Loyola right then and there. I just committed, you know, without really thinking and, you know, letting it sink in that you're moving out of state to a place you have never, you know, been to. And I didn't even go to orientation. I wasn't attending orientation until the week that I was moving in. So the first time I saw Illinois, Chicago, and Loyola was the very day that I moved in. And let me tell you, it started to sink in when I was on the plane with my mom. And, you know, we're going up into the air, looking back, and San Diego started getting smaller and smaller. And truly, I remember crying, which made my mom cry.
And we were all crying.
Yeah, we were all crying. And yeah. She told me, because I told her I was scared and I kind of want to stay home. And she said, no, you'll be okay. As she's literally crying in the back of my head, I knew she wanted me to stay home too. But she told me, you know, that everything would be okay and that this is what I've worked for. So I shed my tears and I'm like, oh my God, this is really real. What have yeah. I done? Like, who does this at, you know, 18 years old? Like, who
yeah,
who just does sure. this? So, you know, we touched down in Chicago and I'm like, oh my God, I'm here. And it's still not sinking in at this point, you know. We're doing a few errands, going to Target, getting the last few things. And, you know, finally Sunday, August 18th comes around. We move in and I watch my mom drive away and I say goodbye for the last time. And, you know, my roommates got there, which surprisingly, my roommates literally are the best of friends. And, you know, not a lot of people get great roommates, but I was beyond blessed for that. And so stayed the night and I woke up the next day thinking, oh my goodness, I'm really here. I am stuck. And that's yeah. where the journey began.
Oh, for sure. And like, even when I remember when we were interning at USD, when we were at SFI, you were there when Tina told me you have to commit now to Emerson. And I was like,
right.
No. And that's
you couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. I just couldn't commit to it. And for many reasons. And then like that day, it was like that summer before we flew out. I remember you walked in and we were talking about like how you committed to Chicago and then like, you were going to go, you were set to go, like ready. And it was just like so crazy to think that we were already heading out to like a whole new journey. And like after we, like I pressed like that acceptance, I was like, oh my God, this is actually going to happen. Like I'm not going to live in California any longer. I'm going to start like my whole new like life in Boston. And like, it was so crazy. And that happened to me too when I was on the plane with my mom. It didn't really hit her, or maybe she just didn't show that it hit her. But until we got to the hotel room, she was like crying with me. And I was telling her like the same thing.
Right.
I was just terrified. I'm like, oh my God, mom, I'm doing this. Like, I don't know where to start. What is like life going to look like now without you in it? Like, it was so, sorry. Yeah. It was just a lot of emotions. Those first
it
few
most
days.
Definitely was yes. a lot of emotions. And you know, I have yeah. to say, for many people, who do know me, I would consider myself to be one of the most independent, you know, human beings I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And the struggles that I was met with were entirely
foreign.
Yeah, foreign and just, yeah. you know, beyond me. I didn't expect to go through as many things as I did because in the back of my head, I was thinking, you know, I'm prepared for this. My mom raised me to be a strong, independent woman who can take care of herself. And there's just so many things that you are not, you know, prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, high schools prepare you, you know, for the academic standpoint and, you know, getting your work done and not being a procrastinator and, you know, being able to focus. But there are so many other things, adulting, making friends, because as we all know,
mm-hmm.
for most of us, the beginning is lonely.
Oh, yes, 100%.
The so beginning lonely, is lonely.
Confusing, and you're just like in this whole other bubble.
Right.
Versus you and all these strangers.
And yeah. so at that point, you know, the first few weeks, things are starting to hit hard and heavy.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking and contemplating, did I make the right decision?
Oh my God, yes.
And I'm thinking, it's time to pack it up and go home. Like, I need to apply to the nearest community when I get home, pack up my bags, and just start over because I don't know who I thought I was when I made that decision, but this was not it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, you haven't been here long enough to see, right? You haven't been here long enough to see what Chicago is made of and what Loyola is made of. And to be honest with you, I wasn't there long enough to see what I was made of. I was ready to give up before I even started. Mm-hmm. And so one of the main things that came on hard was, you know, seasonal depression.
Oh, yes. It's a real thing, people.
I don't know what the correct terminology is. If there is a reverse, you know, seasonal depression, because, and I didn't realize I had seasonal depression truly until second semester when things were great and I actually was thriving, even toward the end of first semester, because I'm a person who I sleep early, typically about, you know, 10:30, 11, and I take naps, but my naps are more than an hour typically. So that wasn't anything new. Now, however, my schedule for semester was very spacious. I started class at 10 a.m. my last class ended, you know, at about 2:30. I had, you know, breaks in between that were quite long. The first couple months I was sleeping, right? And this is like 2 hours at a time in between classes. You know, I'm sleeping before class, after class, before dinner for like about 2 hours at a time. And I was still going to sleep early. And my roommates both said to me, how are you still sleeping throughout the night when you sleep this much, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the day? Most people, the tired is knocked right out of you. And I was just like, I don't know, you know, I'm probably, I don't know, tired of something. And I did not realize until the end of first semester when things were looking up and better that I was not doing well. I was sleeping an excess amount for someone that was not doing a lot of things. You know, throughout high school, I definitely had a full plate, right? I did so many different things. And so in college first year, I'm like, I decided to slow it down and not really do too many extracurriculars because I was just starting out. I wanted to get acclimated to my academics, you know, see what was out there. And so I was just sleeping an excessive amount. And then, you know, I realized that my seasonal depression was not in winter because, you know, being from California, everyone was saying, you're not going to make it. Yep. And every time I'd wear a certain shirt or shoes, they would say, in a couple months, you're not going to be wearing those, you know, always messing with me. And I'm like, well, this is what I came here for. I came here for, you know, the snow. And I think it was hard being in a place in the beginning, those first couple months, with basically the same elements of home. I had Lake Michigan, which reminds me of the water. I had, you know, this warmth, the sun, it was hot, which reminded me of home. And I just felt so sad because I had all these things that reminded me of home, but I'm not home. It was weird. And then the time difference, you know, 2 hours ahead. So every 2 hours I was thinking, oh, at this time back home, I would have been doing this and things like that. And just really that homesickness was hitting. And so once winter came and the snow was out and it was cold, I was living my best life. People were so shocked. I was thriving more than the people who have been living and dealing with snow practically their whole lives because that's what I came here for me. And I love the holidays. I love Christmas. So being around that snow, it reminded me of, I felt as if I were, you know, living in a snow globe. And so to me, oh my God, I was so happy and just thriving. And that's when I realized, I don't think you were doing quite well the first few months. And I was not taking naps at all. I was always doing something. I was hanging out with people. I was, you know, really taking action with my academics. I was involved more. And, you know, that's when it hit. Like, oh my God, I think you had seasonal depression. And it was not a fun time.
Oh, no. No, and, like, I feel like because, like, when you're out of state and you're not really used to, like, that new cold weather, like the change or the actual seasons,
right?
It's like a whole new world, and it's like people wouldn't really, I guess, understand if they're not from where you're from, to like kind of talk about it. But yeah, and it's something that people really don't talk about either in high school or just even growing up. It's like the seasonal, it's kind of like you have to be there to actually experience it,
right?
So yeah, but it's definitely really, really powerful, and you don't really realize how much it takes from you almost until you've kind of realized that you're like, oh my God, this is what's happening. Like, this is why I'm sleeping so long. And this is why I feel, you know, so sad and homesick. It's because it's that blend of, like you said, like the sun and like cold weather. But it's like, yeah, it's, it should be talked more about. So it's people talk about seasonal depression, please.
I had no idea until it affected me what it meant and what, you know, it would do. And I typically am someone who's very much motivated all the time and productive to do things, so to not do that, and I knew something was wrong, but I just couldn't quite pinpoint it at the time. And you don't realize it until you get past it, and then sometimes people point out that maybe you kind of were doing too much. And I had a mentor who kind of brought that to light to me, and I was like, oh, you know what?
Right.
that sounds about right. So it was quite interesting, and which brings me, you know, to that loneliness. Friends, making friends or having friends in college. You know, one of the main things I definitely realized and saw was the difference between me who was going into college with friendships from back home and from high school, and seeing other people who, you know, have no association with people from high school or their hometown. So they're truly starting over from that aspect in finding friends. Yeah. One of the things I noticed is that you have to put in the effort. Effort is a huge thing because everyone is on their own time. Everyone is on their own schedule. They have their own major. You know, you might see one person in one class and then
that's it. Yeah.
So if you really want to get to know someone, you're going to, you know, have to introduce yourself, make a plan to go to the library, maybe go to the dining hall, get coffee or something. You have to put in the effort because in high school, you're with people every single day, all day. So whether you want to make friends or not, you will make friends by the end of the year versus in college. You know, if you do any group work, you don't do it for a while.
Take a one-time thing and then never speak again.
Right. Almost. And then it's so easy for you to just go to class and go back to your dorm room or go home. It's super easy to get lost in that. And I truly believe that in college, you need some kind of support. You need at least one person that you can talk to, you know, about your day, about life. And I'm super blessed that I had my roommates that I could go back to the dorm too, and we could discuss, you know, about our day, about school, things like that. And so I was imagining what it was like for people who don't have friends or don't get along with their roommates, because now it's truly just you. And college is a hard place to navigate.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of different things, because like we've said, you go through so many emotions. And it's hard, you know, putting yourself out there. You don't know if people may like you or if they don't, or if you'll have the same interests or common ground. But I definitely think that, you know, going into college, you can't have such high standards and expectations.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I will say that I did correctly. I went into college saying, you know what, this is going to be the experience that I make it. And no matter what happens, I will have a great experience and everything will fall together and come together as it should be. You know, I said, I'm not going to go out necessarily looking for all these different things or expecting these different things, because when you do that, once those expectations are slowly not being met, you're going to find yourself disappointed.
Yeah.
And I think during that time of transition, you don't want to find yourself disappointed.
No, because like you were saying earlier, like it's like it's going to just be you if you're not like sought on having like a, you know, a friend group, whether it's one or two people, it's going to end up being you. So that's why having expectations, you can't like do your best to not go in with like, this is how it's going to go. And like, even if it's your dream school,
right,
the same thing goes for the institution. Just because it's a dream, you have to lower those expectations, because when you start facing the reality of it, it's going to be completely different. And you're like, it's like your mind will still be living in that like fantasy dreamish kind of world, which is kind of what happened to me with like going to Boston, like to my dream school. And it was kind of like, I was hit with such different things that I was like, wait a second, this wasn't supposed to be like this. And that's why now I think when you mentioned that, I'm like reflecting as we sit on the car, I'm like, wow, I actually was living through that like fantasy. And like when things weren't going the way I was like, this is how it's going to go, I was disappointed and kind of lost.
Right.
So maybe it's time to rethink that option.
Right.
But yeah, and expectations is one thing you should
just
definitely
let go.
On. Yeah.
Let go of the expectations. And I'm definitely a person, I love planning for the future, right? I want a timeline. I want it like this. Everything should happen in this order, in this way. I promise you, when you go to college, throw that out the window. All you have to say and, you know, make your intention, this year is going to be what I make of it. And it's going to be a great year. The great times will teach you something and the bad times will teach you something, but it's all going to be compiled into one great journey of mm-hmm. growth and, you know, much needed change. And now, being where I am now, I would encourage people to, you know, get out of your comfort zone. I realized that I wanted to stay in San Diego and stay in the state mm-hmm. is because that's what
was familiar,
mm-hmm. you know, comfortable. And I think we limit ourselves mm-hmm. and we think that we're not capable of, you know, doing something and doing these big things. And now that I am, well, now that I know what I know now, I can mm-hmm. 100% say I'm so glad I made the decision to attend Loyola U Chicago and just risk it and really mm-hmm. get out there, because it just showed me what I was capable of doing and the person, you know, that I am. I was truly pushed to the limits and tested, but overall it was a great decision. I've met mm-hmm. you know, incredible people. I've had incredible professors. The city is absolutely amazing. The food is amazing. I mean, it's just been an experience that I cannot put a price tag on. And I think it's also important to note that this experience is you. It's what you choose to do. Mm-hmm. It's what you choose to make out of it. Because, you know, with your academics, you have to know when you're struggling, you have to know when to hold yourself accountable. Mm-hmm. You have to let your professors know I'm struggling, and you have to go to your professor's office hours to get the help that you need. And that's one yep. of the things I struggled with, was getting help yes. when it was too late, because I didn't want to admit
that you needed help.
Yeah, I needed help and that I was struggling. And to be honest with you, your professors are truly there to help you. When you mm-hmm. actually, you know, get to talk to them and get to know them, they're truly there to help you. And once I started going to office hours, which I should have started going to sooner, your professors will become your besties. They're yeah. truly amazing people. They're human beings. They're so great.
Yeah.
That's another thing that I wanted to discuss. Diversifying your academics. I think one of the biggest misconceptions is people go to college and they're still falling into their typical schedule of math, history, English, science, you know. I say, take a class outside
of your comfort zone.
Your comfort zone and what you know. Yep. You know, take a women and gender studies class. Take mm-hmm. a class about
poli sci,
you know, religion, Hinduism, you know, immigration, you know. Take anything. The time, because this is mm-hmm. the place where you are here to learn. You are paying money to learn. You will feel like you're going over the same things if you keep taking classes mm-hmm. for the same thing. You know, take a Chicano studies class, an African American studies class, like expand mm-hmm. your horizons. When I look at my classes, even my core classes, because there are different classes, I try to pick the ones that are most different mm-hmm. and what I don't know about, so I can actually learn about something, you know, truly understand, so that way you can see people differently, you can view the world differently mm-hmm. the country.
Yeah,
it just expands your horizons. It truly mm-hmm. does make you a better person and a more well-rounded person. I yeah. can't speak, excuse me.
No, it's okay.
And so it yeah. is just super important to be able to really, you know, get a diverse education, because mm-hmm. yes, you know, they do have some control over your schedule and what classes you have to take in regards to your major. But I promise you, if you're not a STEM major, pre-med major, mm-hmm. you have the time to put in these other classes into your schedule. Make sure you take the chance and you take mm-hmm. the opportunity, right? Yep.
Yeah, and they might even, like, help you even figure something else that you didn't even know you were passionate about.
Right.
And possibly even you're going to want to change your major. So also with that, like, it's okay to change your major. But always, like, talk to, like, your advisor if you're feeling, like, unsure about what you're doing right now, what the track you're taking to. Like, it's also okay to change that and like add minors and change that. Like this is your time to change a lot of things because you're exploring. And I think a beautiful part about college is like you have that freedom, like you said, to kind of just pick and choose what you want aside from your core, you know, requirements. But like you have the opportunity to make it your own experience. And yeah, so I think that is a really good point to like to know that it's okay to like change your major, because I know I've done it twice.
Right, and it's perfectly okay. And that's another thing I think that definitely must be said. It's okay to make mistakes. Yes. It's okay to fail. Don't look at your failures as failures. Look at your failures as lessons learned. Yes. Please make sure that, you know, when something doesn't go right, you did not fail. Mm-hmm. You just made an attempt that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that's the most important thing. And don't be afraid to fall 1,500 times, because I promise you, you will get back up. And I think it's super important to note, even going back to, you know, with friends, extracurriculars. If you're someone like me who needed a much needed break after doing a lot of things in high school, I'm telling you, just go to the club meetings, the intro meetings, not even if you're going to join the club, because those are also the places where you will find people with the same similarities. Yep. That is the place that you will find people, and that's a good time, so that even if you don't join the club that semester or at that time, you will have met people with the same similarity. So go out of your way to go to, you know, school events, welcome week events, push yourself to go even when you don't feel like going, so that you can, you know, meet people. You need a support system. You know, please talk to your family members who support you, your friends from back home who support you. Make sure you're also building a community on campus, because that's where you will be. I cannot stress that.
Yeah, I mean, enough. That's where you're going to be living if you're living on campus for the first 2 to 3 years, depending on your school. But yeah. Wait, hold on. I have to stop. Oh, yeah. And like, it's also like pretty important if you want to broaden your horizons as well. Like, networking outside of school is also pretty helpful. Like I said in the first episode of this like series of college advice and things like that, I mentioned that I got a job off campus, and that really helped me kind of build that community outside of it, so that if I wasn't feeling like I wanted to be stuck in my dorm, I could, you know, reach out to one of my coworkers and be like, hey, do you want to, I don't know, go get something to eat, and like just kind of make it your city, you know, start building your own story and like community, and like whether it's in school and outside of school, but also like just allow yourself to kind of adjust, and like don't put so much pressure on yourself if it doesn't, like, you know, if it doesn't work out the way you expect it to work out. Like, it's just gonna take time for you to figure out who, you know, matches your energy, who has the same morals as you, who wants to see you succeed as well, and like who will really have your back towards the end of the day. And like, yeah, I mean, it's just a journey.
Crucial. And so, you know, one of the things as well is finding support. Mm-hmm. You also need to find a self-care routine that you stick to. You have to take care of yourself.
Yes.
You know, I know many campuses have, you know, a gym, or just other recreational activities that you can do. Please take care of yourselves. One of the things that I did for me religiously every Sunday was my spa skincare Sunday. It's super important to take the time for yourself to reflect on your week, your day, your month. And so every Sunday I would dedicate, you know, a good 2 hours to just me, you know, facials, you know, mud masks and all these things, to really just be in touch with myself. And you have to take care of yourself. You have to make sure you dedicate something. If you can't dedicate something to yourself each day, please find a specific day where every single day, if it's reading, make sure you make the time to read whatever book that you want. Designate that 1 hour where you're not on your phone, where you're not, you know, being distracted by other things, and you're truly just, you know, with yourself. And one of the things I would do is sometimes in between classes, because Lake Michigan is right there, I would go to the rocks and sit there and just hear the water, you know, listen to the water and, you know, the wind, and just take a moment to breathe and let it sink in that this is where I am, and really, you know, don't beat yourself up for things and realize how far you've come and give yourself credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult thing. Even if you are in school at home, give yourself the credit that you deserve. It's not easy. You are transitioning mm-hmm. from being comfortable to now a whole new different way of life and living. You have to take care of yourself. I cannot express that enough. If that means you getting your favorite tub of Ben and Jerry's and
then go do that,
you eat it. You have to find something. If that means you're going to Dunkin' or Starbucks to get, you know, your drink to start off the week and end the week, mm-hmm. make sure you do that and set your intentions for the week. You know, mm-hmm. I always made sure that at the beginning of the week, I'll say you're gonna give what you can and do the best that you can. And then at the end of the week, I say, you know what? I did the best that, that I can, and that's mm-hmm. all that matters. And it's just super important to know how you're feeling and to just be in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, definitely listen to your body. If, like, you're not feeling up to hanging out with friends, know that it's okay to say, I'm not really feeling well. Like, it's setting a boundary for yourself. Yeah,
normalize setting boundaries.
Yes, please normalize that. And that can, that is life-changing. But definitely, like, if you're, like, just listen to your body. If it's feeling too exhausted, drink water. Make sure you get something to eat. Have, like, snacks around, like, your dorm.
Eat food that's nourishing, you know?
Yeah, and, like, a lot of the things that I was also doing for my self-care is, like, every day after class, like, usually in the mornings, I would just pull out my notebook, well, my journal, and, like, just talk about how my day was going and what I expected it, you know, to kind of look like, and just kind of, like, make sure that I was writing down everything I needed to do for the week and did my laundry every Sunday. So there was that consistency that I had a routine, and that also kind of helps when you're feeling homesick or you're feeling just down or lost and confused and all of those emotions. So it's kind of like having that set routine, right. And you can always adjust it to how, you know, life, you know, because it evolves constantly. So
it does.
But yeah, the biggest thing with that too is, like I said, like, setting boundaries is so important. Like, if you're not feeling up to hanging out with friends, or you just want to take the day for yourself, or you just don't feel like texting, just, you know, send them a, hey, I'm not feeling really good right now. I want to take some time for myself. And if they're, you know, true friends, they're gonna respect that.
They're gonna,
you know,
truly, they will respect that.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, it's important during this time, you know, going to college and stuff like that. I'm telling you, the things that you think are so obvious to other people are not obvious at all. Mm-hmm. You have to be an effective communicator, and you have to let people know. And I think that's one of the beautiful things that my roommates and I shared. Mm-hmm. You know, when there were times where we were not feeling it, sometimes it comes off as, what is your freaking problem? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you have to sit back and realize everyone else is going through their own thing. They're juggling their own things. And so we were able to establish a level of communication where we would say, you know, we would do check-ins and say, you know what, this week is not going that great because this, that, and the third, or I feel like this because this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would hype each other up and truly, you know, support each other the way, you know, you would support each other, because it's super important. I'm telling you, you really do think that people will notice things. For example, the me sleeping a lot. If I was home, right, my mom would have definitely known that something is just not right.
Yeah.
And obviously even my roommates questioned it, because I was still sleeping through the night for like 10 hours. Mm-hmm. So, but they, and I told them that I'd take naps. So they were thinking, well, maybe she just, you know, takes naps. So you have to be mindful that sometimes your cry for help may not be as clear as you think it is. So you have to be an effective communicator. That way people know how to treat you and support you during whatever hardships and emotions that you're trying to work through.
Oh, for sure.
Because I think it builds frustration.
Yeah.
You know.
And a lot of confusion. A lot of unnecessary arguments.
That's right.
Too.
So that, for one thing, is just super important to
acknowledge
and keep in mind.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when it comes to academics and your schoolwork, please, guys, do not procrastinate.
Oh, yes. Please. Do not. No.
Please try to Yeah, please try to work ahead and make sure when you are doing your work, focus on it. Put your phone away. Don't go on TikTok and social media.
Yeah.
Because you're only going to hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very quick. It takes a second to fall.
Oh, yep.
You know, and it is, you will be crucial. Digging yourself out of a hole, which sometimes you might not be able to get out of that hole. Mm-hmm. So, you know, find what motivates you, help yourself focus, and get the work done, because I'm telling mm-hmm. you, I promise you, your hard work will pay off each semester. You know, by the end, you want to be able to be proud of yourself, proud of the work that you put in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you have to be able to hold yourself accountable. So don't yes. be surprised at the end of the first semester when you don't get the grades you wanted because you did not put in the work. I promise you, put in the work into your future, and at the end of the semester, you will get what you wanted and you'll be proud.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to feel as if you're wasting your time or you're wasting your money.
Mm-hmm.
So please make sure you're getting your work done. And also, it just helps you to be stress-free.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the biggest thing. You
yeah.
want to be stress-free. I mean, you want to enjoy as much as you can with people around you.
Right.
But, yeah.
You want to be stress-free, and you don't want to be overwhelmed, because trust me, you're going to be overwhelmed mm-hmm. with a lot of other things mm-hmm. already, that transition.
Yeah. Oh, now that you said that. Oh. There's this word. There was a car with music. That I got distracted. What was I gonna say? Oh, yeah. Like, if your first semester, you're not doing literally, like, everything that everybody else is doing, like, joining all these clubs and, like, going to, I don't know, example, parties with other people, or just, like, doing things with, like, a large group of people. Like, if you're not doing that or you're not a part of that, like, that's okay. Like, it just takes time. Like,
it does.
You don't want to jump into something and, like, feel unsafe, or, like, if, I don't know, hypothetically, you were, like, super, super drunk and, like, you don't really know these people, then you're kind of just like, oh, wait, I don't really feel safe. And things like that, like, it just takes time. You got to be patient your first semester and, like, learn that it'll all come. You got to take baby steps when you're going in.
It all takes time.
Yeah, and that goes with
the high expectations. That's another thing. You have to have patience. Yep. You might not make friends the first week. You might not make friends the second week, the first month, the first couple months, first semester. And again, it's important to keep in mind, even those friends that you do make first semester or second semester mm-hmm. or that first year may not even truly, you know, be people that you might know for the rest of your college years mm-hmm. or things like that. But it's just super important, you know, put yourself out there and just do what you feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
But also don't compare, you know,
yeah,
your journey to anyone else's, because we all go at a different pace. Yeah, mm-hmm. you're on your own time. So yep. don't go asking someone else what the time is when they have their own journey, you yep. know, focus mm-hmm. on
what you're doing
and what you have going on. And I promise you, you know, just don't get distracted by other people. You always want to follow your mm-hmm. intuition, your gut,
yep,
what you want to do. Do the things that you're passionate about, not just because it's going to look good on your resume or building your resume, or because mm-hmm. that's how you're also going to feel overworked and overwhelmed if you're doing things just to do them, not because you care. Because you don't want these things to feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need something that you actually enjoy doing to also help, you know, pass time. So that's yep. just one of the key words is effort. You have to put in the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Things are not going to just fall from the sky and into your hands as much as that's the way we would like it to be. But you really do have to put in the effort.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I completely agree. And, like, also in terms of that, like, going back really quick to, like, asking for help, because I was just thinking about this. don't be afraid of asking for, like, support in terms of, like, academics, and, like, really, really try to remind yourself how important office hours are, like, your first semester. When I say that, like, you know, we both can attest to this, but, like, when professors are really, really there to see you succeed in all aspects. And like I said in my first episode of this, like, it's always just nice to have a familiar face in the crowd and be like, oh, you know, maybe they'll reach out or like come up to you and be like, hey, how you doing? How's your first semester going? Like, are you taking care of yourself? Just things like that. And it's like a good thing, just good to have. but yeah, in terms of like asking for like even financial help, like, it's okay to go back to the financial aid department and be like, hey, do you guys have any, like, services that can help purchase books or, like, a food pantry? Like, there's no shame in that because we're all going through it and we're all, we're all going to be in debt. So use your resources as much as you can.
Use your college resources. Please. They are there for a reason.
Yes.
Use as much of them as you can. Ask questions.
All
ask
the time.
For help.
Yes.
You know, you just truly want to make sure that you're getting,
yeah,
you know,
everything you're
everything mm-hmm. that you should be getting and rightfully, yep. you know, deserve. And yes. so with that, I say I made a great decision. I recommend everyone going to school out of state if you can. It's just incredible because you truly do get to meet mm-hmm. new people and you get to start over and rewrite your own
yes.
story. You get to write mm-hmm. your story how you want.
Yep.
So write a good one.
So take the risk. And like, I know it's really scary.
It is scary.
And all
it's
this
terrifying.
Might have been
it
scary.
Is terrifying.
Yeah. But like, once you get there, experience it, it will obviously be painful because you're in a whole new different like zone, like bubble. But like, it will allow you to like deal with so much that you kind of maybe even suppressed being home and like in terms of like mental health or just like things that you wish you would have done. But people back home were like
holding
saying,
you back.
Yeah, holding you back. Like this is a time where you can just do it and
don't
not
limit yourself.
Anybody an explanation.
Right.
And this goes for anything in life. You don't owe anybody an explanation in life because this is your life. You write it the way you want it. And if they're not paying or helping you in any way, and even that, like you living your own life. But, you know, with that said, we're going to wrap this up because we're running out of time. And we want to thank you for being here and, like, just sitting in with us in the car and from the comfort of your own home or wherever you're at. Thank you for listening to this second episode, well, part two of the series. But, yeah, it was really fun to have Kaseba's perspective and, like, experience and, like, advice. So, yeah, so thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. And, like, thanks for driving. Anything else you would like to say before?
I definitely just want everyone out there to know if there's anything that you take away from this, it's one, do not limit yourself because you have no idea what you're capable of until you're put in the position to see. Two, effort. Effort is so important. You're going to have to put in the effort. And the third thing is accountability. Hold yourself
and others accountable too.
Yeah, hold yourself and others accountable. And overall, just enjoy life, enjoy the journey, enjoy the experience.
Yep. And also remember the change within that comes a lot of if it's uncomfortable with that. But what I wanted to say is that when you're uncomfortable in a situation, it's because there's growth happening because you're not in this like circle that's so familiar. So know that that's normal to feel scared, to feel confused, to feel lonely and all of those
100%.
Things. 100%. But at the end of the day, it's just going to help you find more of who you are and discover things that you never even thought you would, you know, be interested in or be as an individual.
Right.
So, yeah.
So essentially, be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest one.
Be comfortable.
Being uncomfortable.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of people told me that too.
Right.
Did you get that too?
100%.
Yeah.
And they were right.
Yep.
Each and every time.
Yep. They were really right. Okay, well, now we're going to wrap this up. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. And yeah, if you haven't yet checked out this like whole podcast, make sure to follow so that you can stay up to date with whatever new episodes we come out. And if you want to follow our social media, it will my Instagram is Sienna Demuro, which is SiennaDimuro, and Kaseba's Instagram
and my Instagram is at Kaseba Chibwith at KASEBA_CHIBWETH. If you do have any questions about anything, please feel free to DM me.
Yes, feel free to DM us both. And if you want to hear more about like anything that we've experienced, also make sure to DM us that. And yeah, we'll see you next episode.
Thanks for tuning in.